Welcome to episode 286 of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Brain Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, Tom Jones, and Julie Andrews' bastard love child.
And Dale, child of the universe. And Mervin Will.
Julie Andrews. Nice. Nice. I love it. I love it. So welcome
the
to the latest.
The alternative was Arthur Dent's spirit animal.
That'll be the next one. That'll be the next one. So we're back for another
spirit animal too.
Ooh.
I'm not sure we're allowed to have spirit animals. We're too white.
No, I mean, who would I be the spirit animal of?
Oh.
Or maybe I'm too white to be a spirit animal.
The Drupal mascot?
Oh my god.
Oh, you guys are killing me. Another media spew. Another week, another media spew. What have we been watching? What have you been listening to? What has been passing your time, guys? Where do you want to start?
Well, we usually start with like Netflix, TV sort of stuff.
So, let's do it.
I have been streaming almost a nonstop bunch of gardening videos from M.I. Gardner. Basically, I just let it run and like fall asleep on the couch, and it just continuously shows more and more videos. So I'm hoping I'm learning through osmosis that way or something.
Very Matrix-like. Yeah. I like it.
But the only thing I've actively really watched was, I don't know if you guys watched The Amazing Kimmy Schmidt, but I love the Unstoppable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable, wasn't
and,
it?
Unbreakable? Unbreakable? I don't know. Kimmy Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt, and, yes.
Kimmy Schmidt. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious kind of thing, even if the later seasons were a bit weaker kind of thing. And they had ended it like about 2 years ago or something. And oh, that's fine. I never expected to see new Kimmy Schmidt. They came out with a one-off Kimmy Schmidt episode. And it is a choose-your-own-adventure Kimmy Schmidt episode where you get to choose what her and the other cast are doing. And apparently there's another secret lair of mole women that she discovers and goes on an adventure before she gets married to Robert Pattinson. Or is it Robert Pattinson? No. Harry Potter kid. She ends up marrying the 11th in line to the English throne. It's super weird, but there's one point where there's like four choices you get to make, and you just use your arrow keys and then okay sort of button on your and you can like explode the bad guy, you can stomp the bad guy, you can kill the bad guy, and you can forgive the bad guy. And when you basically explode him, stomp him, and shoot him, all of a sudden you get another Easter egg where he's in hell, but he's super enjoying it because it's like super fly and he loves it. And he goes, "You are seriously dark. You literally have no forgiveness in you." I just loved it. So choose your own adventure, Kimmy Schmidt. Check it out. And
Netflix is becoming that's starting to become a trademark for Netflix, the choose your own adventure episode.
Except for they can't call it Choose Your Own Adventure.
Because that's what we all know. Yeah, exactly. But everybody knows what they're doing. Because I remember when the Black Mirror one came out, it was like, if you follow this map, this is where you end up. And this was a thing for like a couple of days, right?
Who's the guy who played Harry Potter? God.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes. He is the person Kimmy Schmidt is marrying. And it's pretty funny. Because he's English, they have different words for things. And sort of like eeny, meeny, miny, mo is some other weird wiggly, biggly, buggly, boogly. Yeah, it's weird. Just watch it. Enjoy it, damn it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And that's it
for me. Mr. Dale?
So I watched episode one of The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah.
It has potential. I think this is one of those I'm going to have to give it at least three episodes before I decide.
I agree.
But John Goodman, that man had way more chops than I thought he had when I first saw him in a movie.
Yeah, I think that's become kind of a general understanding. The thing is, just forewarned, if you're looking for more John Goodman, he is not a big role player in the show. He kind of comes in and out of the picture. It's not really about him. He plays more of a role towards the end of the first season.
Oh.
He's always great when he's on screen.
I am intrigued. I'm going to give him a couple more goes. Go ahead, Colin.
I'm going to disappear for a minute, just so you know, I have a secret mission. So, cover me.
Westworld wound up, and
oh yeah,
I am 95% happy with the ending, which is to say pretty good, but not kind of stand up and cheer, but pretty damn good. It was a really great season, and I am really looking forward to the next one to see where they're going to go.
So they are going to do a next one.
I read that. I can't 100% remember where it is, so I may have read it incorrectly, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I read that they've been renewed, and they definitely have a place to go.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. They leave it open-ended enough that they can go somewhere.
Enough. I mean, you could end it here, and it would be satisfying, but I definitely would love to see them go further, especially... Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but it was mostly a great ending. Something happened and it would have made it a bit more Hollywood if it happened the way I wanted it to happen. So it's like that kind of thing. Like basically a character died that I just really loved. So and that's my 5% unhappy. Harley Quinn season two, I'm just I love the sensibility of the writers on this one. They did this opening with kind of, I can't remember what the term is for it, but it's like the woman-hating comic trolls. So they had this opening with this woman-hating comic troll like sitting in front of a TV set with his bud talking about how long the series was. Just that whole pattern. Like they had the pattern down exactly. It's like, oh, Harley Quinn's such a minor character. There's no way she could have... Blah, blah, blah. And just the whole thing almost put me on the floor. And I'm not sure if they saw it, they would see themselves as being lampooned. It was beauty. Anyway, the stuff like that is what keeps me laughing on this one. Cardinal, another great season.
Oh yeah, it's over now.
Yeah, that makes me sad too.
I was really, really disappointed because I really like that show and I thought it ended on a really solid note.
Yeah, I really like the way they handled the Cardinal DeLorme relationship. Like
me too.
Again, don't want to spoil it, but I have my thoughts on where that would go. But so not prime time. Such a subtle wrap up and so in character.
Agreed, 110%. So I was both really happy with the way things wrapped up, and I was also really disappointed with the fact that it's done. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a Cardinal movie down the road because that would
That would be amazing. I kind of hoped I'd misread it not being renewed, but yeah.
Yeah, no, my understanding was that it was a series finale, and I think that was the conscious choice by everyone involved, was that this is where they were going to leave it while they were still on the uptick.
Yeah.
So, sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
Cool.
The Good Witch is back.
Yes, I keep seeing ads.
I know, Marina, you would never watch this because of the way Gillian is handled the relationship with Stan Akatic, but I couldn't help myself. So I've been watching The Rookie, but that's stopped. The stories have really gone off the rail for me, like just kind of jumped the shark. It had a charm. It was an ensemble cast, so it wasn't just Fillion, which was which was nice. And they have some really great characters. Like, I really, really like the other characters they have there for the cops. But some of the storylines have just gotten so absolutely ridiculous to kind of put in an action hero venue for Fillion. It took me right out of the story. And they've done a couple of those. This last one is just kind of the final thing. So I'm done with the rookie. It makes me sad. Like, I would love if they could take this whole Fillion out and make it a true ensemble cast. They really did have some other great characters. And my last one is Upload. Have you guys heard of this one?
Oh my gosh, that's first on my list.
Oh, okay.
I've seen the ads nonstop.
Well, I'll wait and let Marina talk about it.
No. Let's talk about it.
Well, you're next anyway, and this is my last one. So,
yeah. So they'll dovetail.
There we go. We're so good.
We totally are. It's so planned.
It's a near future drama where before you die, you can have your consciousness uploaded into a sim, and that's what happens to the main character. And as the series proceeds, we find all kinds of interesting little things happening, like he may have been murdered, and we find out more about the world, which is kind of in some ways a nightmare, because even though you're paying to be in the sim, you still get ads. But it was like, for me, it was a little bit mixed. Like, it was almost they didn't know what story they wanted to make the primary storyline. Something like that. I'm not sure. It was just like, it wasn't super clicking, but they have a couple really fun characters in there. Andy Allo, who I'd never heard of before, is kind of a standout. She plays his customer service rep, which they call Angels. And they did a really good job, I thought, on her storyline, because there's a definite kind of progression. Some of the other, like I said, some of the other storylines, they just don't feel like they're kind of meshing. So, but definitely there's lots of fun little moments in there that I'm enjoying, and I'll definitely be there when the next season comes.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it a lot more than you did. I was ready for something a little more lighthearted, and this is definitely that. It's a lot more fun than I thought it would be, though it still gets at some darker, sort of smarter ideas, too.
A couple times I actually winced. You know, it's like, yeah, that would so happen, and that would so suck.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think it gets at some real truths that are kind of hard to swallow, but I think generally I really, really enjoyed it. But I was really surprised by Robbie Amell, who I really like. Is it his brother or his cousin or whoever it is that plays the Green Arrow guy?
Yeah.
Not a fan. But the energy coming off of Robbie Amell is quite different, and he doesn't mind taking the piss out of himself, and I'm totally good with that. And I really enjoyed it. Just almost entirely on charisma and the performances. So yeah, Dan and I watched it over like three nights. We really, really took to it. So it was definitely one of the highlights of the last couple of weeks was being able to binge watch Upload. I really enjoyed it. And that's on Amazon Prime for anybody that's looking for it. I also managed to catch finally all six episodes of Surviving R. Kelly. So this was a doc that aired on, I don't know, one of the network television channels last year. I had it sitting on the PVR and I still hadn't gotten around to it. And so I kind of been watching it on and off for the last couple of weeks, and I finally finished it. And it's nothing really new. Everybody kind of already knows the story of R. Kelly and how for many, many, many reasons, he sort of continued to be a predator when people knew what was happening in his life. It's really hard to watch sometimes, pretty much all the time, because it's basically the survivors speaking out about what happened and their experience. And it just gets kind of repetitive and really troubling towards the end, because you just see the repetition of it. But I still watched the whole thing, so I mean, that's saying something. I noticed that there's like a season two, so I have no idea where they're going with season two. I haven't delved into that, but I enjoyed season one, if you can call it enjoyment. It was really eye-opening to see what happened in that community and how he was able to keep doing what he was doing. We finally watched the last, I guess, 4 or 5 episodes of The Morning Show on Apple TV Plus. So we had started watching this when Apple TV launched. It was kind of the big showy show that they launched with because it had all of these big movie stars. Jennifer Aniston's in it. Reese Witherspoon's in it. Well, fuck, who isn't in it? Everybody fucking is in this thing. It's got everybody. And it's kind of it was an interesting premise. It's Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell play, like Good Morning America talk show hosts in some city in the States. And, Steve Carell is basically outed as a predator. It's kind of like the aftermath of Me Too. And it kind of takes a look at how that's handled within the television studio by the producers, some of the women that were abused, how the network heads covered it up. And it tries to get at some pretty heavy things. It doesn't always succeed, I don't think, and it does better sometimes than others. It kind of fumbles a little bit. But overall, I thought it was pretty good, mostly because of the performances. Like Witherspoon and Billy Crudup and Jennifer Aniston are like firing on all cylinders. And Steve Carell is really good as this unlikable asshole who is always looking to basically spin the story in his defense. And he's really good at it. We've seen him before in doing like serious performing, but he's really quite good here. So the show is okay. It's still worth checking out, I think. But I wouldn't like put it, it wouldn't be my first choice of something to watch on Apple TV Plus, but it is solid. We continued our what to watch next on Apple TV, and we watched Truth Be Told. This is the Octavia Spencer and Aaron Paul drama. So Octavia Spencer plays a podcaster who has like a true crime series, and she is trying to deal with the fact that when she was a young reporter, she may have overlooked some evidence that sent a young man to prison for the murder of his next door neighbor. So she's trying to basically dig into the backstory to see if he's maybe innocent. Lizzie Kaplan also stars. It's a really super convoluted story. Lizzie Kaplan plays like twin sisters and one of them might be crazy. And I don't know. It's really weird. It's not great, but Lizzie Kaplan is really, really good in the dual performances. So I don't know. I'm on the fence about this one. I'm not quite sure I would recommend it full heartedly, but it's an okay watch if you're looking for something to watch outside sort of the regular stuff. And I think it's like eight episodes or something. Truth Be Told. Oh no, that's what I was just talking about. Okay, Hillary. This is the Netflix 4-part docuseries on Hillary Clinton, directed by Nanette Bernstein, who did On the Ropes, An American Teen. She's a really great documentary filmmaker. So she's done a long form interview with Hillary Clinton and a bunch of the people that were sort of around her circle. And they talk basically about the presidential campaign and everything that led up to it, including, you know, Hillary going to law school and all that good stuff. So it's interesting. It's not like groundbreaking. You're not going to discover anything new, or like it's very, I don't want to say scripted, but it's very controlled. Like clearly the Clintons had a message they wanted to put out there, and this is what that message is. But it's still interesting in so far as Hillary Clinton is an interesting person, and she had an interesting life, and she's had an interesting life in front and sort of a public and private life. So, I mean, it does have its moments, but it's not groundbreaking by any means. And that's on Netflix. And that's it for my TV. I feel like I've talked for the last 20 minutes.
That's fine. I have one book. Last episode, I was talking about reading my first Clive Cussler novel, where he had included himself as a character in his own book.
Well, so how many Clive Cussler books have you read since then?
Well, I bought another one, and called Spartan Gold, where they discover a Nazi mini sub in like Chesapeake Bay or something like that, or somewhere. And then that leads them hunting down, I don't know, Napoleon's lost wine cellar, which leads to, I don't know, some Spartan sort of versus the Greeks sort of antiquity. It's very convoluted.
This sounds super convoluted.
Super convoluted. But once again, he includes himself in this story at a pivotal moment. He's not really a hero, but he definitely lends aid kind of thing once again. So I, of course, now go, I have to read all of his damn novels to find out what Clive Cussler's doing in his damn novels. So okay, that's hilarious. I went out and bought like another 10 used copies of his stupid book so I can find out. So prepare for Cussler updates for the
foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
So there you go. That's it for books for me.
That almost sounds like the whole National Treasure series.
That's the first thing
that came to mind.
National Treasure convoluted bullshit. Yeah. Except for
Nicolas Cage
would literally write himself as Nicolas Cage.
but wasn't National Treasure based on a book, or was that, am I thinking wrong?
Oh, that's a good question.
There's a lot of authors who've sort of the pseudo sort of there's a lot of authors who have Indiana Jones characters.
Well, then that's the whole. I can't remember his name now. The controversial guy that.
Dan Brown?
Dan Brown, thank you. Yeah. Isn't that his whole thing? Like these convoluted running.
Oh, super. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Robert Langdon is always up against some secret.
A symbiologist lost, long forgotten... saves the day again. Thank God for academics.
Hey, man, don't diss. Don't diss.
I'm sorry. How many academics can actually pass for action heroes?
I can think of two.
Yeah, there's a few.
Indiana Jones and what? I can't remember. Oh, Robert Langdon. Those are the only two I can think of. Maybe, wait.
It's just a different flavor of James Bond and Bourne Identity. So,
but Lara Croft tops them all, so there.
There you go.
Just saying.
Yeah.
She's got real chops, that one.
Oh, in this last book I bought, it wasn't a Dirk Pitt novel. It was a Fargo and Remy novel, which, so the two sort of like hero sort of archaeologist explorers slash rich people who just go have adventures. At least there is a female character, and she is quite capable. Although she seems to always be the one making the meal too in the book. Oh, so saves the day and then still makes the meal. So, you know, nice. Legit.
Nice.
I just looked up National Treasure Book of Secrets, and there is no book in the writing credits.
No.
So I guess that is just a inspired story from the Zeitgeist or something.
Yeah.
So totally inspired. Hey, still a lot of fun. I can't complain. I have watched all three of those movies, and they're all good fun.
I think I watched the first two.
Yeah, there's three of them.
Okay.
There's three of them, or are there only two? No, there may only be two.
There's at least two.
There's Book of Secrets and National Treasure. So.
Yeah, I think there's just the two. Yep.
Like I have to watch it because it is Nick Cage. No matter how much I often hate him and swear I'm never going to watch another film, I always do.
But it's Nick.
I don't remember a whole lot. I do remember enjoying the first one more than the second one.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel
about it. That's about it. But they were like, you know, popcorn movies.
Yep. All right.
Do you have any books?
Anyone else have a book?
No books for me.
No, me either. I've started something, but I'm not in a position where I feel comfortable yet talking about it. So in 2 weeks, I should have finished it and I'll be able to discuss it at that point. But let's talk some movies. Miss Colleen, do you have any movies?
I have no movies.
Mr. Gale, do you have some movies?
I have three movies.
Hit us up.
Matchmaker Mysteries, A Fatal Romance, straight up Hallmark stuff. I probably don't need to say any more than that. I was particularly interested in this film because it was shot out kind of Langley way, and a friend of mine worked on the set. So It was nice. It was kind of fun having that connection. Extraction, which is the Netflix Chris Hemsworth film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I saw this last time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fine for like a competent one-watch action movie. Would have loved more character exploration. But it was a fine use of a couple hours. And the last movie is An Inspector Calls from 1954. And it caught my eye because the main character is played by Alistair Sim. He's my favorite Scrooge. To me, he's like the definitive Scrooge. Not so popular anymore because it's all black and white. I didn't expect the movie I got. It's this allegory on how this, obviously it's the society of the day, damages the underclass. And it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit of a mystery, a little bit of a police thing. And it was like playful the way it was giving out facts bit by bit. You were kind of like, if you're like me, like I kind of like putting together the bits and trying to predict the conclusion and that kind of thing. And I was like having a lot of fun watching the movie. And so much so that like I did some follow-up, and it's based on a play of the same name. And this play is considered a classic of English mid-20th century theater. They actually study it in school. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice little gem. And it's short. It's like, I don't even think it's an hour and a half. I think it's an hour 15. So, yeah, there's definitely some old gems out there. I don't know if it was ever remade. Maybe not, because I'm not sure how it would do in today's environment, but being like, you know, an allegory, but, yeah, I had a lot of fun with it, and that's my movies.
Awesome. I've seen a couple of things. Bad Education. This was the HBO film that Corey Finley directed. He directed Thoroughbreds a couple of years ago. This one stars Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney, and it's based on a true story of like the largest embezzlement case, public school embezzlement case in American history, between the character that Hugh Jackman plays, who's like the head of the school board, and Allison Janney, who's like the accountant person. Between the two of them, they embezzled like over $2 million in like 1990 dollars. The funny thing is that they were basically taken down by the high school journalism student who was looking for information on something else and just kept digging, and then started slowly discovering that there was more happening, and she sort of raised the red flag and the whole thing came tumbling down. It's really well made, really, really entertaining, and Hugh Jackman and Allison Janney are awesome in it. They're great. It's really, really a good watch. So that's streaming on Crave. And on HBO, however you get HBO in the States. Time Warp, volumes 1, 2, and 3. So this is basically, I think it's about 6 hours. I think each episode is about 2 hours long. It's a three-part series on cult films. Well, I say cult films, but they break it up into three different volumes. Volume one is all about midnight movies. The second series is about horror, and the third package is about comedy and cult films. And it's basically like they're just talking with experts, I say in air quotes, about movies within these genres, but it's really just about cult films and how they become cult. And I enjoyed it. It's pretty entertaining, and there's basically, you walk away with a list of movies that if you haven't seen, you might want to check out. And there were a couple of titles in the mix that I certainly was curious about. So that was kind of fun. Not really much more to write home about, but I think the second volume releases fairly soon, and then the third volume is coming out in July, I want to say. But worth definitely checking out. I saw Bad Boys for Life. Dale, have you seen this? For some reason, I thought you'd seen this.
I've been considering it, but I haven't quite gone with it yet.
Okay, it's as ridiculous as Bad Boys. Maybe not quite as ridiculous as Bad Boys, because, you know, it's missing some, I don't know, there's something missing from the mix, but it's still Will Smith and Martin Lawrence being, you know, the bad boys. And it's, you know, now they're middle-aged, and things are particularly more difficult for Martin Lawrence, who still gets all the butt ends of the jokes. I don't know. It was fun, you know, for what it is. It is what it is. It did not disappoint. Let's just say that it was a fun hour and a half or whatever length it was. So they've definitely left the door open to do another one. I'm not quite sure if they should. At this point, I think we're kind of all done with Bad Boys, but they play out all the Bad Boys jokes. Like, you know, it's been 20 years or whatever it is. So those jokes are all done now and they haven't really mined anything new. And as far as like cop movies go, there's better cop movies that you can continue on as a series. These guys are not the greatest cops. So I say just leave well enough alone and move on, but we'll see how that goes.
Just watch Hot Fuzz.
Exactly. Exactly. It's smarter for sure. And it has some really great action sequences, which this does as well. It's not lacking for it's exactly what you would expect from a Bad Boys movie.
Nice.
Downhill. I can't remember if you'd seen this one, Dale, or if maybe I just mentioned it in passing. This is the Will Ferrell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus one about the family that's on vacation in the Alps, and there's a controlled avalanche and they think they're about to die, and he grabs his phone and runs off. And now there's all this pressure around the family and the fact that he basically left them to die and saved himself.
We talked about that trailers way back when we were doing.
Yeah.
Trailers,
okay. But. So that's what it was. So yeah, it's based on a 2014. I want to say it's Finnish, but I don't remember now. A film, from Ruben Östlund, called Force Majeure. The foreign film has a lot more depth and is much better observed, but I think that Downhill has its own merits and can be judged on its own, and I think it's pretty decent. The performances from Ferrell and Louis-Dreyfus are quite good. It's much more surface than the other film is, but it still works well on its own, and I think it's a fine film. It's perfectly good. And it is kind of fun to see Will Ferrell kind of losing his shit and actually seeing there's that one particular scene where they're about to go on this heli skiing adventure and they lose their shit because one of the kids has lost his glove and it's like underneath the car the entire time. And once the helicopter, like everybody's like, but we got to go, the helicopter's leaving. And she's like legit losing her shit because they can't find the kid's glove. And then the helicopter takes off and everybody gets into the car in the huff and she opens the door and there's the glove. And I'm like, we've all had that moment where that's happened. So it does get at some pretty interesting things. And it is different enough from the original that I think it stands on its own. It's not quite as good, but it's still decent. Okay, so I totally got suckered into this. We were on CBC Jam looking for something else. I don't even remember what it was at this point. And they had the hot dogs listing of titles, and I thought, oh great, they've got some of these already on the website. So we loaded up a documentary and started watching it, and I'm like, this doesn't look new. This actually feels like old news. What's going on here? I looked it up and it's like from 2017, but by that point we've watched half an hour of it and it was interesting enough, and I'm like, okay fine, we're gonna finish watching it. It's called You're Soaking in It, and it's all about big data, and it's pretty good. It's nothing new at this point. We've all been I think if I'd seen this in 2017, my mind probably would have been blown. But at this point, we've heard about big data so much that it's nothing new. But it was still worth a look, and it's streaming for free on CBC Gem. So there's a nice little bonus there. And they have quite a few really good looking documentaries that are streaming as part of like the best of Hot Docs. And I think they're releasing some of the Hot Docs titles like once a week for the next couple of weeks. So there will be some new documentaries in the mix as well. Lucky Grandma, Dale, I thought of you the entire time I was watching this because I think you're going to love this movie. Directed and co-written by Stacey Seeley. It's her debut feature film. She's generally a documentary filmmaker, and she's made a lot of short films. It stars Tsai Chen, who is a Chinese actress that's worked a lot in Hollywood. She's usually in any film that kind of has like an Asian bent. She's in it somewhere. She's best known for her role in Joy Luck Club. And she plays a grandmother who She goes to like a card reader, and the card reader basically tells her that, you know, her lucky time is coming. So she takes one of these like group trips to a casino, and all of this stuff happens. And the next thing you know, she's like mixed up with the mob. So now you have this legit grandma mixed up with the mob, and there's all this shit going on. And it's like it's funny, it's dramatic, there's family drama, but it's like also an actual like action movie where people are getting killed in all these gruesome ways. It's so good. It's so, so, so good. So that's now available streaming, and I highly, highly, highly recommend people check it out. It's totally worth it. And it's called Lucky Grandma. I watched the 2019 Charlie's Angels, which I really, really liked. And I would definitely watch more Charlie's Angels directed by Elizabeth Banks and starring this trio of women. And it's very much a girl power ha-ha movie, and I'm totally okay with that. It was hugely enjoyable, lots of fun, some great action sequences, and just girls kicking ass, and I'm always okay with that. We followed it up with Like a Boss, which wasn't nearly as good, but still fun. This is the Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne play business partners who have a cosmetics company, and Salma Hayek owns this big conglomerate that's trying to buy them out and steal all of their ideas. It's kind of ridiculous and has a couple of funny moments. It's mostly forgettable, but Haddish and Rose Byrne have a really, really great chemistry. And Billy Porter and Jennifer Coolidge kind of have these bit parts that are also unforgettable. They each get their own little moments, and it's fun. It has its own little quirkiness, and I enjoyed it for what it is. And then I loaded up Shudder, which I haven't done in a while, and I dug through my watch list and picked up a couple of things that I hadn't watched, that I'd been meaning to watch and hadn't done so for a while. So Summer of 84, which is from the directors of Turbo Kid. So Canadian film about this group of friends who think they're one of their neighbors might be a serial killer because all these kids are disappearing. So it has a very like Burbs meets Rear Window, but like way seeped in 80s. Like it takes place in 1984. So like Turbo Kid, their production design and costumes and everything is like superb. It's all top notch. This one feels very much like it's retreading old material. Like there isn't a whole lot new in the first, I'd say, hour, but it's really well put together. Like it's enjoyable to watch. And then in the last 20 minutes, it really takes on a life of its own, and it gets really, really, really great. And that ending is like primo ending, I will say. And then Daniel Isn't Real, which is Adam Egypt Mortimer's movie from last year with Miles Robbins and Patrick Schwarzenegger, which is, it's like this psychological thriller where Miles Robbins plays a guy that has an imaginary friend played by Patrick Schwarzenegger who is driving him banana like crazy. It's really dark and really intense and really, really bloody, and it's all kinds of amazing. This like is up there with like Cronenberg level of craziness. Like there is some weird ass shit that happens. The effects, the practical effects are top notch. Colleen, this one's one for you, man. It's worth checking out. So okay. I highly, highly recommend Daniel Isn't Real. It's quite, quite good. And that's it. I've talked long enough.
Writing.
All right. I wrote a couple things down for sure.
Awesome. Podcasts. I don't have anything new, but one of my longtime ones I listened to called Beyond the Bastards. Recently had an episode where there's this right-wing mouthpiece a-hole called Ben Shapiro. I don't know if you're familiar. He's a sadly racist piece of shit. Yeah. Mm. So he wrote a novel. It's a terrible racist novel. So the Beyond the Bastard crew and guests basically read the novel and comment on it. It's a good way to waste like 40 minutes of my life. And that's it for podcasts for me.
I don't have any new podcasts. I've just been trying to get through my backlog of already listen to two podcasts.
Oh, that's what I was going to say is, yeah, lifestyle changes. I am I'm definitely not keeping up with my podcast list.
No, well, neither am I. I've been trying to squeeze them in as I'm doing stuff around the house. Like if I'm cooking or cleaning, I'll try to listen to an episode or two. But the truth of the matter is that they tend to be very long, and I've been listening to like the timely ones first. So there's stuff that's going back to like February.
And yeah, at some point, a lot of my podcasts are on hiatus right now. I'm still listening to stuff. Like, thank goodness for Aaron Mankey's slew of podcasts, because they're still plugging out like mad.
I know, right?
I need something to listen to at work.
Yeah, I think there's like six I'm keeping up with, and all the rest are almost abandoned.
Mm.
I have one music-related item.
Ooh.
One of my favorite bands as a kid was Devo. Well, they are in the merch game now.
I saw that.
They're performing. They're selling face shield pyramid power hats. I've never been so tempted to buy something online in my life.
I wonder you totally should call me.
If it's hard hat appropriate for a work site.
I would say maybe not, but it would still be cool to walk around the neighborhood wearing that. Come on, go and get your mail wearing that.
Go into the Save on Foods. I'm through being
Why
cool.
not? Why not? I actually did see that come up, and my first instinct was, well, that seems kind of like a waste of money. I hope they're at least donating the money to some good cause.
Oh, no, it's all about capitalism, baby. It's the devolution of the species.
Oh, snap.
I love Devo, man. Because we're through being cool. We are.
I just wanted to throw out that I'm really excited for Space Force, which is going to drop pretty quick.
Yeah, I know. I saw the trailer for that the other day, and I thought, holy smokes, when is this coming? And it's like, coming at the end of May. I'm like, what?
And I'm also super stoked that we're getting a new Star Trek based on the Pike number one and Spock characters from Discovery. Like, that's super, super cool.
I had missed that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They, and basically I guess it was based on fan reaction, but Anson Mount, Rebecca Raman, and Ethan Peck are basically, we're getting a new Star Trek on the Enterprise series called Strange New Worlds.
That's because everyone's pissed off that Picard was too dark and Discovery was too dark.
Whatever. Who cares? Who cares what anybody else thinks?
This was the amazing thing to me, was they did those characters in like the sensibility of the original Star Trek series, and they did it so well. Like the fans, myself included, like I just was like, there's the Star Trek I've been craving. So I was going to be really sad to see them go, and now I don't have to, and I'm very happy.
Me too. I really like Anson Mount. I've always really liked Anson Mount. So any more work that he can do, I am A-okay with. Thumbs up.
I'm just waiting for more Stargate.
I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
No, it's too bad. I never really got into Star Trek at all, but I love Stargate.
Well, never say never is all I can say at this point, because I didn't think we were ever going to get any more Star Trek.
Sooner and here we go. Later, Richard Dean Anderson will need money.
There you go.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, that would be interesting. I at this stage, I don't know they could do it if they could do a new Stargate with Richard Dean Anderson. But
as the
leader? He was definitely core. Like he's not going to go on missions anymore.
Oh, he'd be a General Hammond kind of thing, but it'd all be underground and hush hush. He'd be off-world. He's cut out Earth entirely and running his own Stargate op. Yeah. That's right. There's no academics at all. It's just freelance mercenaries. With a heart.
Sure.
One can wish.
One can always wish. That is true. Well, guys, is that us wrapping up what we've been watching the last couple of weeks?
It is for me.
I believe so, yes.
Awesome. So come on by etcpod.ca. We'll link to all of the things we've talked about today. I think somewhere in the back catalog, I just remember that I think I have an interview with the directors of Summer of 84 before the movie came out. Because I remember very clearly I recorded it in a car because they had scheduled it for like a long weekend and I was out of town and they wouldn't even let me see the movie in advance. So I talked very vaguely about the film. So I think that may have played into the fact that I waited so long to see it. But I will say this before I wrap up. If you love horror movies and just generally like scary things, Shudder is completely worth your subscription. I just cruised through there the other day when I was trying to find something to watch, and I like populated my watch list, and there was so much great stuff in there, and not all of it old. There's a lot of new material as well. They've got TV series, really great stuff in the mix there. So recommended, worth the $5 or whatever it is to subscribe. That's my plug. Come on by etcpod.ca. Check out links to all the things we talked about today. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another show. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Opening and closing credits are Arcadia by composer Kevin MacLeod, used under a Creative Commons license. For more information, visit incompetech.com.